This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Hope, was delivered on September 12, 2021. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Thank you, James and Jen. Yeah, you know, this morning we took out James's $300 fishing reel and we put it on the kokua table and said, "Thank you, James, for your most generous donation." He got up from across the room. He ran to the table. It was just, we have fun over here serving the Lord. So we do crazy stuff once in a while. But thank you, Jen, for going to that meeting. You know, we're going to not just pack the boxes here. As we're packing them, we're going to be praying over them. So we're going to kind of spread out, social distance, have tables set up, and we're going to just pack our those boxes, and we're going to take them away to be shipped. So that should be very, very fun doing that night. So thank you so much for your announcements. Well, I'd like to welcome you here to New Hope East Hawaii. It's really nice to see all of you. It's nice to be able to worship and sing and just welcome the Lord and His Spirit here. You know, this is no doubt the last 2 years has been like the most difficult seasons we've been going through. You know, especially if you like people. I like being around people. I like hugging people, sitting, talking story, and hanging out. And so it's been hard because, you know, it's harder to do them. And, you know, it's a difficult time. And if you could imagine, you know, going through life without hope. You know, even before I came to walk with Jesus, you know, I had some hope. My hope, granted, wasn't in the right things. I had hope of getting a better job, a better life. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I had hope. You know, and there were many times in life where I had doubts. I felt down and out and hopeless. And those were probably most of the times when I was either high or drunk. That's when I felt down and out and hopeless and thinking of ways of ending my life. You know, you think those people go turn to those things to try and get rid of pain, but it just makes it worse. So today we're going to look at what or who or things we put our hope in. Where do we find it? And what do we do if we lose it? How do we be contagious with our hope? How do we spread it? In Ephesians 2:12, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Before, back then when this was written, before Jesus came onto the scene, the Jews and the Gentiles were kept apart. The Jews did not like the Gentiles. The Gentiles did not like the Jews. The Jews considered Gentiles beyond God's saving grace, beyond His saving power. Therefore, the Jews considered the Gentiles without hope, like rubbish. Remember, maybe before you came to Christ, I don't know if you were without hope or without God. I know I was without God, but I had hope in other things, wrong things. Remember the guy who betrayed Jesus, Judas, when he saw that Jesus was condemned The Bible says he felt remorse. He returned the money, the silver, the 30 pieces of silver that was paid to him to betray Jesus. This is what the Bible said in Matthew 27:5. And he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed. And he went away. Now, this is a New American Standard, right? He went away and hanged himself. I don't know if that's the proper English. I would have put hung, but I'm not an English teacher. I failed English. But he went away and hanged himself. I was thinking, oh well. So here is a man who he just lost all hope. You know, you figure after spending 3 years with Jesus, man, he still didn't get it. Do you suppose if Judas went up to Jesus and said, Lord, forgive me, what do you think Jesus would have done? Get out of here. He probably would have forgiven him, but, you know, he spent 3 years with him. You figure he'd kind of catch on, but he didn't, and he lost all hope. Found a tree, and he killed himself. It was sad. Hope is something that I believe can have such a great positive effect on all of us. It can motivate us to be and to do incredible things. You know, I've seen fishermen climb down a cliff in rough water in hopes of landing that catch. How many of you fishermen are guilty? Huh? Or stupid? One time I went fishing with Al, and I was like way down, and I hooked up to a big one. I mean, really, it wasn't like big, but it was big. And I had a small pole, you know, and I was fighting it, and there's no way that I could have pulled it up the cliff. I was like, how am I gonna get this fish? So I had to kind of try drag the fish along the cliff. So here I am on the very edge of the cliff looking down. So I kind of drag it onto a rock because I have hope of catching this fish. Yeah. So I drag to close my wife's ears because she's not ever gonna let me go fishing again. So I drag it on the rock and then I put my pole down. Then I walk like 50 yards that way. I climb through a hole that leads down to the ocean. And I climb along the edge of the cliff. I grab the fish and I throw it. Seriously, I throw it up the cliff. Because I cannot pull it through the hole because my line's going to go back through the hole. And I don't want to take it off the hook in case I drop it. So I grab the fish and I throw it. And I walk back, climb through the hole, grab my fishing pole, like, whew, your heart is racing. And it's like, whew. And that's what hope does. It can make you do incredible things. Hope. Hope. Hope of a better life. One day, you know when you're at the end of the rope and you're like, man, life sucks. And you look at your wife and she's all cheerful all the time and you know she goes to church. And she's like, man, I guess I put my hope in the wrong thing. And hope motivated me to seek a better life. Hope motivated me to seek God. And then God used me to plant this church in hopes of reaching people. It didn't start out as a church. It just started out as a small group in my neighborhood so that I could bring this wonderful new thing that I discovered with God to my neighbors. I just wanted, you know, four or five of us to get together and to talk about God and to learn things. I didn't expect it to turn out into planting a church, and that was all God, but hope motivated me to do these things. So here's the question I have for you, number one, and there's no blanks, but what do you hope for? Where is your hope? What do you hope in? What do you hope? What do you trust? In Isaiah 44, and I get weird feelings when I read this kind of scripture. In Isaiah 44, 16, half of it he burns in the fire. So he's talking about a piece of wood. Okay? Over this half, he eats meat, and he roasts a roast. So, you know, like some like Uncle Ted, James, you know, they get pieces of wood, they throw them in the stuff, and they make smoked meat. So think about that. Or you throw it on a grill, you throw your steak. And he is satisfied. He also, like, warms himself with it. Aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. Now, okay, you picture this. Now, the other half of that piece of wood that he cut off, the rest he makes into a god, his graven image. He falls down before it and worships. He also prays to it and says, deliver me, for you are my God. Now, does that sound like ridiculous? It's kind of like, seriously? The same piece of Kiavi that you and smoke that wood with, that meat with, the other half, oh, please deliver me from this cancer. Deliver me from this COVID. Seriously, that's what they did. Here in Isaiah, the people were cutting down trees. Part of it they cooked, they warmed themselves, they made food, and another part they warmed themselves, and then the rest they made idols and they worshiped. They put their hope in a piece of wood. Now, before we judge them like I do, like, oh, you guys crazy. I mean, some of us, we worship our cars. Oh, my baby. How many of you have a Harley Davidson? Oh, my baby. Yeah, how many of you worship your bank account? Yeah. I have enough. I don't need worry. Yeah, so I was like, I better shut my mouth when I start thinking about them crazy, because, man, we look at our nice tool. How many of you have tools or fishing poles that you like, kind of like, how many of you still keep your tools in your bedroom and your fishing poles in your bedroom? Ah, see? They were cutting down trees. Where does your hope lie? You know, does it lie in your bank account? Does it lie in your stock market? Is your hope, do you live your salvation or your faith through your spouse? Are you like racking up bills? Spend, spend, spend. Because Jesus is going to come before my bills are due. What if he doesn't? I hope not. You look at 2 Chronicles. I'm 26. King Uzziah, young guy, started off trusting God. All his hope was 100% in God. In 2 Chronicles 26:3, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. He, 16 years old, he did right in the sight of the Lord according to all his father Amaziah have done. How many of you know any 16-year-olds who do right? Only Christian, yeah? Your son. Yeah, he's a really good kid. So if you're listening out there, the Christian, that was for you. How many of you, yeah, 16 years old, I was rotten. I think 16-year-old, I was already drinking. Yeah. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had an understanding to the vision of God. Get this part at the end. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. You might want to underline that. Now, after years of success, his trust, when he was 16 years old, his trust somewhere along the line moved from God to his weapons or his abilities, and that's where he went wrong. Probably at the age of 16, all he had was God. But as he grew up, he became more established. He got more things. His hope, his trust, his faith went elsewhere. You look at 2 Chronicles 26:15. This is talking about King Uzziah. In Jerusalem, he made engines of war invented by skill for men to be on the towers and on the corners for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. So he made big, you know, like in the movies, those big giant crossbows and those catapults. Hence, his fame spread afar. So he had a reputation that he had weapons of war. And then catch this part. For he was marvelously helped until he was strong. So sometimes when we're strong, how many of you men, we're strong, I get them. You need help? No, I get them. Guilty. Remember I told you about the other week how I hurt my back? Because I said, I get them. I still no learn. Maybe after service, somebody just kicked me. You know, that's where we can go wrong. When our hope, our trust moves from God to our bank account, to our own abilities. Oh, I don't need to worry because I can find one job. Well, who gave you the ability, the skill to work? Yourself? I think it was God. You know, when our bank account looks good, our pantry is full, your car works fine, you love your job, your children all turned out all right, you may become comfortable. And now our hope may have moved from trusting and putting everything in the basket with God into, I get him. Like Uzziah, I get him. When we do that, we become like those guys who Isaiah was writing about, worshiping the trees. So where should my hope lie? Psalms 39:7. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. That's where we need to put our hope. Sometimes we just gotta wait. But you know, when we wait, you know, you have to wait for the Lord. Wait, wait, wait. When you wait for the Lord, you don't sit and do nothing, right? You ever seen the waiter at the restaurant waiting for your order? He's not standing there next to your table like, hurry up, make up your mind. Only get 200 things on the menu, hurry up. No, he's busy. He's busy and he's watching. So I tell my family, hey, put your menu away. As long as your menu is open, he ain't gonna come by because we're looking at the menu. put that menu away, fold it up, put it on the end of the table, then he will come. But he's busy doing things until we are ready. When we're waiting on God, we're not going to just sit down and like do nothing. We're active, we're reading, we're serving, we're doing things. Psalm 71:5, for you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my confidence from my youth. Man, so right there it tells us our hope needs to lie in Christ, in Jesus, and what he did for us on the cross. 1 Kings 3:9. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? This was the prayer of young King Solomon. He needed God's help to judge his people. He put his trust, he put his hope in God, that God would lead him in the right direction. Our hope should lie in only one place, one person, that is Jesus Christ. Putting your hope in anything else would be useless. Amen? But sometimes we do. Sometimes we get a little bit off track. I do. So what do we do? What do I do when I lose hope? Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you are bound in hope by the power of this Holy Spirit. When you lose hope, man, you just got to seek God. I mean, really, really seek God. Move all the distractions aside. Paul, who wrote this letter to the Romans, tells us that God is a source of hope. And in this tough time, in this tough season, we may have drifted a little. You know, especially if you got to watch church online, because it's so hard. Like I said, if I was watching church online, I would have the iPad on, and I'd have the bacon frying, right? Yeah. And the bathroom, I mean, how many of you want to get up right now in the middle and use the bathroom, but you won't because you're in church? Yeah. You know, in this rough time, we may have drifted. We all do. But I tell you what, God is waiting there. He is waiting there for us to return, to come back, to draw close, to regain that hope, hope of a future with God. In Revelation 21:3-4, this is like a picture of what's to come. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he, God, will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Here, John, he paints this picture of what eternity would be like. And if that doesn't give us hope for a future with God, then maybe you just gotta dwell. Maybe your life is good, so you don't want to leave this earth. You know, for many years I was like, man, I'd be happy, I'd be glad to go to heaven now. And then you have a grandchild. Oh, I want to stay, Lord, please. I want to see her grow up. Right? Grandchildren just do stuff to you. Yeah. Melt your heart. Before this, I could have left my wife and kids and everything and gone to heaven. But now you have a granddaughter, like, oh, shucks. John paints a picture of what eternity would be like. Now, if you ever feel like you're losing hope in this dark and troubled world, we just gotta think of what eternity in heaven would be like. It's like when we were singing, and we were singing these words, all of our thoughts left our bills, left our problems, but our thoughts went to praising and worshiping and all those words we were singing. Man, that would be so cool. The holy city, the new Jerusalem, described as a place where God will remove the sorrows and the pain. No more COVID-19. Hallelujah. Now, when we put our hope in Christ, we need to understand that He will not let us down, but we may not always get what we want, but understand that He'll give us what we need. There will be a lot of times when God's provision is right in front of us, and all we need to do is open our eyes. We need to look at things from a different perspective, and we can see it. And if we know the character of God and how much He loves and cares for us, then we would have that hope for a great future. In the meantime, like 2 Corinthians 4:17, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. And then 1 Peter, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ will Himself perfect, confirm, and strengthen and establish you. Now, if we are at the end of the rope, so to speak, have lost hope, cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel, these two verses tell us that, man, the suffering is but momentary. It's short. It will not last long. Hang in there. Persevere. Because in Christ there is hope. If you feel like you're suffering, you don't know what to do, man, find somebody you can connect with. Find somebody you can fellowship with. So we find hope. Finding hope. In your bulletins, no Jesus, no hope. N-O. No Jesus, no hope. So you know more Jesus, you know more hope, like the Gentiles back then. But if you know Jesus, then you know hope. Right? No Jesus, no hope. No Jesus, no hope. Amen?
Amen.
Kind of a play on words there, because some people, they like to make fun. They call us no hope. Yeah, you ever had some of your non-Christian's friend, oh, you go to no hope? Yeah, because we know hope. Amen?
Yes.
1 Peter 1:3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, it's hard to be a Christian without having a fresh beginning based on the salvation Christ brings to us. I mean, to be born again, that's like an amazing gift from God that brings hope of a favorable future. The first place to find hope, and probably the best place, is to find it in Jesus Christ, accepting Him as your Lord and Savior. Once we do that, then once we get to know Him, spend time with Him in His Word, and get to know His character and what He does, man, our hope just grows and grows and grows. Then it comes to number 4, contagious hope. And this is the picture God gave me. If we can be as contagious as COVID-19, the Delta variant, if we can be that contagious with our hope, whoo, imagine what would happen to Christianity. Holy smoke, you'd see, oh, today we had 700 conversions in the state of Hawaii. And there was 160 on the Big Island. Imagine if people look at us like, why do you have so much hope? Why are you so joyful? We were in a pandemic. We were locked down. We're suffering. I can't breathe through this mask. But yet you have all this hope. Why? Man, if we could be that contagious with our hope. Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affection, faithful in prayer. Now, if you put your hope in circumstances, then you'll be disappointed. When you put your hope in Jesus, he will not let you down. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. That's why we had a testimony last week. She has her story. She shared. Do you have your story? If somebody asks you, why do you have so much hope? You have your story ready of why you put your hope in Christ? It says, but do this with gentleness and respect. Where does your hope lie? Where does it need to lie? Where do you find it? Can you get contagious with it? Share your hope. I mean, nowadays it's hard because we cannot be just talking with anybody. But you still have, I mean, we can blow up social media with the hope we have in Christ. Amen? Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Christ and he will make your path straight. We need to put our hope in the right things, the right place, and that is in Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and I'm going to ask if you never, ever asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and if you would like to put your hope and trust in him, I would ask that you would ask Jesus into your heart. I would ask you, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, that you would pray this prayer with me. Goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there, no shame. Anybody out there, God bless you back there. Anybody else? Anybody else? You may put your hands on. Lord, you have seen the hands. You have heard the heart. They have put their hope and their trust in you. They can never go wrong. Lord, I pray that they would follow you. I pray that you would use the local church to help them grow, to learn, to fellowship with you as they grow. So, Lord, we pray for each one here that they would put their hope, their trust, their lives in your hand, because we know when we do that, we cannot go wrong. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Would you stand and join us as we sing? Take it away, worship team.
Thank you, Pastor Scott. Well, let's take it out in praise this morning to our wonderful God, who is all the power we need. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kiau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we are recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.